This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
Do you guys bring your Bibles? Huh? Man, bring your Bible to church. It's church. We didn't sneak up on you. Bring your Bible to church. Gee, Manetley. How many guys have been in the Word today? Huh? There you go. And listen, don't just do it casually. Do it that it's life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. Everybody say, I carry life and health because the Word's in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you know that those who run in a race all run, okay? Man, and you know what's interesting? I think that the term a few generations ago was the rat race. All the rats are running, okay? But here's what we've got to be. We've got to differentiate ourselves from all the people in the rat race. We have to be, but one receives the prize is what it says, okay? Run in such a way that you might receive it. Run the race as one who wins. One who wins is the one who gets out in front. You know, you might be here and I might say, hey, how many guys are struggling and are on the verge of bankruptcy? How many of you guys are neck deep in debt? How many of you guys are man, the diagnosis that you've gotten from the doctor, it just keeps getting worse and worse, and you're not sure what you're gonna be able to do? Man, how many of you guys will say, man, I'll tell you what, man, pornography is gripping my thought life. I mean, whatever it might be that you're dealing with, I'll tell you, here's how we deal with it as Christians. You wanna know? We get out in front of it. We run as one who wins. We get out in front, and we're not looking to draft off anybody. We're not going to live our life in regret or shame or unforgiveness or bitterness. We're going to get out in front of all of it. Man, if you're bitter towards somebody, you got to get out in front of that. Man, you can't run second and run as one who wins. You have to get out in front of it. But see, here's the key. The entry step, super practical tonight. You guys into that? Two quick points, super practical. But here's the deal. You could either be confident or you're going to be in doubt. That's all you've got. You've got doubt and you have confidence. Understand this. Doubt is going to be natural. Confidence has to be built. I'm telling you, your mama throws you in the delivery room and you're gonna have to deal with doubt. Jesus had to deal with doubt. If this cup could but pass from me, but God, not my will, your will be done. Man, we have to understand that. God, how long do I have to be with these guys? Doubt is natural, okay? But listen, confidence we build. See, and that really, honestly, that underscores the whole idea of being a leader, because it's who we are in Christ as a follower of Jesus. Man, you want to, the only way I can be a leader in this church is if I follow Jesus. And as I follow Jesus, listen, confidence is going to be built in my life. Man, some of you guys just lack simple confidence. The Bible says don't cast away your confidence because it has great reward. But you know what? What's going to happen is our confidence is going to be whittled back, the vehicle is going to be doubt. Man, there's a train going by your life every single day, and it's like you're at that stop. It stops and welcomes you on, and it's doubt. Man, and see that it's interesting because we've got to trust God. We've got to please God. You can't. And the Bible says this: you can't please God and man. Man, when I look at God, when I look at his word, when I look upon Jesus, man, confidence gets built in my life. When I look at man, I start to doubt. Man, we trust God. We don't trust how we feel. We don't trust what we see. We trust every word that comes from the mouth of God. Number one tonight, we have to have basic, simple faith. Simple, basic faith. What faith is, I'll keep it real simple, trust. Everything in this world is built upon trust. That's how God designed it. Man, you're trusting the seat that you're sitting in. You've got to trust that waiter when you order off the menu that's what he's going to bring you. Man, you've got to trust that if God has promised it, he's promised it to you. He's directed it to you. You have to take it personally. Man, and I'll tell you, what I thank God about is that I've been on this route of faith, and I'm very confident in God's word. But I've also been in on it for about 35 years, 34 as a matter of fact. 34 years of trusting God's promise. Man, I'm not hoping it's going to work out. I don't serve a God who gives and takes away, okay? And I want to make that real clear and simple to you. I don't serve this ethereal God who, you know, sometimes the Lord gives and sometimes he takes away. It's a bunch of bull. God's a giver. Man, that's what we've got to understand. He's a giver. You know what he's going to take? What I give to him. I cast my care upon him, he'll take that. I ask God to forgive me of my sin, he'll take that. But it's not the good. It's not the promise that he takes away. He's not fixing to take away one of my kids. He's not going to take away my marriage. He's not that kind of God. Man, and I'm telling you, that old fatalistic stuff they call Christianity that's Calvinism or whatever, I'm telling you, it's not in the word. We've got to understand that God loves us. Why? He's love. That's all he is. We all know Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is, now faith is, now. It's got to be active. Man, some of you guys might say, man, I'm not equipped for this faith life. I'm not equipped for this faith walk. Let me tell you, it's a decision. Do you know what gets you to heaven? A decision. You know what gets you, to health? It's a decision. Man, you know what gets you to prosperity? It's a decision. You've got to make a decision. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance and evidence comes through faith, comes through trust. Man, if you've got to see it to believe it, that's not Christianity. That's your agnostic. If you've got to have it in your hand, I believe what happens. Well, let me just tell you, that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Man, are you hoping to get out of debt? Are you hoping to walk in health? Are you hoping to have a strong marriage? Well, it all comes from basic, simple faith. All of it does. 2 Corinthians 4:13, man, personifies this faith that we walk in. And since we have the same spirit of faith, there's a spirit of faith. Do you know what happens as I preach this word tonight? Guess what's attached to this word? A spirit of faith. Isn't that right, Charlie? A spirit of faith comes with this word. And you'll be like, oh my gosh, wait a second. It comes alive in me. Why? There's a spirit of faith attached to it. And why it's attached to it is because we believe and we speak. That's the key. Too many people think just simply believing is faith, and it's not. We believe and therefore speak. Man, the believing part. Man, the devil's so cunning. Why? Because he believes. But what he's going to try to do, he's just going to try to throw some doubt, mix some doubt in. Man, because it's so strong. What we see, how we feel, isn't it strong? It's crazy strong. But see, what we've got to do is we've got to deny it. We've got to reject that doubt. We can't let it harbor in our port. Man, we've got to understand that we believe. Let me read this scripture again. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Everybody say, I believe and therefore speak. That proves our faith. Because I'll tell you what, believing in and of itself is not enough. Speaking has the power. It's what brings power to God's word. Man, there's a logos of God's word. We've got it right here on our phone. We got it on our iPad. We've got it. Maybe some of you old guys have a book in front of you call a Bible. But see, what do? Man, we've got to speak it. We've got to speak it. We have to proclaim it. We have to preach it. You ready for this? I'm not sure you are. I'm going to give it to you anyway. In season and out of season, whether it looks like it's going to work or not. I'll tell you, the times where it looks like it's going to work, well, sure. The times it doesn't look like it's going to work, that brings God so much glory. Crazy faith, man. It's just simple. I'm going to keep things simple. I understand the gifting of my life as a pastor. I really do. I know I can change the atmosphere in a room. And it's not going to be same old when I get up. I know that's a gifting God's given me in my life. But the other thing is I can make this very practical and simple. I could make this simple enough for the smallest child to understand. I personally operate in a childlike faith. I'm trusting my daddy. That's it. No matter how things look. Man, I'm that 7-year-old kid on the playground. My dad can whip your dad. My dad can run faster than your dad. My dad's better than your dad. You probably don't even know your dad. You know what? That's that same attitude I've got now as a 55-year-old man. My dad can whip your dad. Why? Because my dad's God. I'm trusting what he said. I'm trusting his promise. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to proclaim it, whether people like it or not. I'm telling you, I don't mind being the only one in the room that believes, and I'm going to speak my mind. I don't mind being that guy. Why? Because I know there's a gifting in my life to change the atmosphere. I know there's a gifting that's in my life to make it simple enough that, it, you know what, it's irrefutable. Man, here's what the Bible says. Man, I had a preacher years ago, I told you this story, that in front of 40 pastors, he said, "Shear, is there not room in your doctrine for God not to heal?" I said, "No, because he's the healer. He's not the sometime healer. He's not the, when you figure it out, you get healeder. No, you know what? He's just a healer." Everybody say, "He's just a healer." Say it again, because there's power in that. If we try to think this stuff through, if we try to add some of our intellect to it, the whole thing goes south. It's simple, basic faith. Did you write that down? It is trusting what God's word says, no matter how we feel. And here's the deal with this faith. It comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Everybody say Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's say it all together. Come on. Romans 10:17. Say the verse. You got to remember this. This is important. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Say it again. Okay. You know why I did that? It's elementary. You know why else I did it? Your flesh hates it. Mine does. Okay, everybody say this. My flesh is going, "You're an idiot. These are smart people." Man, I'm looking at people. Man, I'm looking at Derek, man of faith, man of the word. Man, he's in the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know why it's important for Derek to speak that? Because doubt is natural to him. Doubt is easy. Doubt is simple. It's plain. It's right here in front of you. But you know what? Faith has to be mustered. Faith, you got to hear it, and hear it by the word of God, and hear yourself say it. I'll tell you what, that I'm telling you, that is the most powerful way to build your faith, is to hear yourself speak God's word. Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Man, you can hear other people. Man, I'm a faith teacher. Man, I'm telling you, it has become, after 34 years, it has become my default button. It's what you can expect. What does the word say? Well, man, here's what I'm going through. I don't feel good. I don't get, man, we don't live by how we feel. We live by every word of the mouth of God. We can't please God without faith, without trusting him. And it has to be simple, and it has to be basic. When it starts getting complex, when things start getting weird, we got to go back to our base. We got to get back to our basics. We got to thank God. And here's the bottom line. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Let's all say that together. Man, let's do it. Man, let's crucify. This is how you crucify your flesh. You don't want to live by the flesh. You know what? Man, what do you reap if you live by the flesh? Corruption. What do you reap if you live by the spirit? Life and peace. What do you reap if you live by the flesh? Corruption. What do you reap if you live by the spirit? See, your flesh hates all this stuff. It's elementary. Come on, move on. Well, let's talk about the seven horses. Let's talk about the seven lampstands. Let's talk about the seven men. That's all great. But I'll tell you what, day in and day out, what's going to try to smack you in the mouth tonight or tomorrow morning or next week, you have to counter by faith. It's not just believing. It's not just thinking it. You have to speak it. This faith is verbal. What we believe, our belief system, it's all determined by what you, if you can say it, you can have it. How many of you guys believe that? How many of you guys have experienced that in your life? Well, you know what? If you haven't, I'm telling you, give it a shot. Man, how about this? You look at that old worn out wrecked knee and you say, I'm healed. What the heck? I'm healed. You know what the Bible says? Here's what the Bible says. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. I'll tell you what, if you're in here today and you're weak, I'd let everybody in the world know I'm strong. How you doing? I'm doing good. Why? Nothing can snatch me out of the Father's hands, and he promised he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'm in good shape. It's all good. Well, what about the bad things that happen to you? It turns to good because I love God. I'm called according to his purpose. It's simple faith. It's basic faith. Yeah, I tried that. I tried it. Shut up. Dadgummit. I'll tell you what. You start mixing whining in with it. Go find the coldest, deadest church you can and go there this Sunday and you will fit right in. Pews, I didn't say pews. The seats are hard. I didn't say pews. I was going to say pewter. I was going to say pewter, and I stopped saying pewter because it wouldn't have made any sense. And I said seats, didn't I, Scott? That's what I'm talking about right there. That's why Scott's my man. Everybody say, thank you, Scott. Number one was simple, basic faith, right? Number two, you have to reject doubt. You have to be aggressive with it. You can't play around with it. You can't soft sell it. You can't hope it's not, you're not going to, let me tell you, doubt's going to fly at you. It is. Anything significant in your life that you want to do with God, you are going to have a stream of doubt that's going to try to grab your attention, that's going to try to take over your mind. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, he has to flee. Man, you get doubt in your life, doubt hits your life, you have to say, devil, I resist you in Jesus' name. And you'll go, I hope that works. That'll be the doubt. But let me just tell you, this is what God's promised. Isn't that right, Deborah? God's promised. He's got to flee. He's got to go. Man, devil can't mess with you unless you let him. You know what you've got to do? You've got to keep your door open for him to get in. Man, devil can't mess with you unless you open the door for him. That's why Jesus said, I'm the door. Let the devil mess with that door. Man, when you proclaim the word, you're making Jesus the door of your life. Access to your hearts through Jesus. I don't believe the devil can get through Jesus. I personally believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, the word made flesh, dwelt among us, and is all powerful. Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered to them and he said, have the faith of God. Have the God, it's literally have the God kind of faith. And you know what? God's promised us that he's given to all the measure of faith. You are not faithless. You are not, listen, and you exercise your faith similarly to you exercise your muscles. And it's like, it's funny. It's like the old bodybuilders. There's guys that go to, and man, from the waist up, man, they're just ripped. They're just bulked. And they got these little skinny legs. And it's funny because I had a buddy that his family goes to church, been a friend of mine all the time. He was in weightlifting. He's in all that fitness stuff, and this guy came up and goes, yeah, I'm training for a meet, the competition this weekend. And he said, are you gonna wear pants? I was like, he just said that. And I looked, and his legs were like, you know, they're like little chicken legs. But listen, there's so many Christians that are like that. That, you know what we gotta do? We've gotta make sure that we're rejecting doubt no matter what form it's coming in our life. And the only way we reject doubt is we submit ourselves to God. How do you submit yourself to God? You believe and therefore speak. It's all about speaking. Well, I'm shy. Well, get over it. Shy is not a fruit of the Spirit. Listen, you can be shy and without, okay? The sheer translation for shy, the sheer definition for shy is without. We have to be bold as lions. We have to be the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's a heart that beats on the inside of us. But we speak the word. It ain't about us roaring. It ain't about us grunting. It ain't about us hollering. It's just simply about us speaking to the word. And you know what? Speaking to the mountain. We speak the word, we speak to the mountain. We speak the word, we speak to the mountain. And you know what the world is just a mountain range. It's all it is. So you know we're good at it because we're not trying to climb it. We're trying to not trying to navigate it. We're not trying to figure that mountain out. We're not trying to just go around the mountain. No, we're speaking to the mountain. That's what faith is. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Everybody say, I submit to God. I resist the devil. Adios. There you go. Mark 11, 22, have the faith of God. For assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus. This is red ink. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, this authority trying to hover over you, be removed and be cast into the sea and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. But don't receive the doubt. You can't receive the doubt. Doubt is going to come. Doubt is going to show up. The devil is going to throw doubt. It's going to be so natural. It fits right in with your flesh, all that doubt. I've heard people say, yeah, I've got faith for other people. I can't believe God on my own behalf. You know why? Because you're experiencing that pain personally, firsthand. And you know what? You can't just subject what your belief is by how you feel. If you're going through something right now, God has equipped you. Listen, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You've got to speak the word on your behalf, on your family's behalf. You men in here, you've got to speak the word. You got to understand you're the gatekeepers to your homes. And you'll say, yeah, but I'm not, I got thrown out and she divorced me. And now, so no, you still speak the word and you're still the gatekeeper in that home. As long as you're the dad, as long as you were the first husband, I'm telling you, you got to be a man of faith. You got to be a man of God. And really, honestly, man, for other people in your church, man, you know what? I take it upon myself. I take it personally when people are under attack. It's like, you know what? I've got to teach. I've got to preach. And I'm going to share in a minute how this whole thing lays out. But we've got to be diligent, and we've got to aggressively reject doubt. How many of you guys right now can isolate a doubt that is common in your thought life, in your life? How many of you guys have a doubt that's common? Listen, raise your hand. I want to see your hands. You know what? You've got to attack that doubt. Man, you could call somebody up. You could say, hey, Eric, Janelle, I need you to pray for me because, man, I got so much doubt that's flooding into my life, and I don't think things are going to work out. And you know what? They could pray for you, but guess what? You still harbor that doubt? I'm not saying their prayer doesn't do any good. But you can't live off of their faith. That's why God has given you the measure of faith. Yeah, they can agree with you, but in agreeing with you, you've got to reject the doubt. Doubt is personal. Doubt is natural. You might say, well, yeah, but man, I've lost these kind of battles all my life. Yeah, let's go back to the initial verse. What was it? Everybody runs. And you know what? In the world, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You got to take it. You got to take with it. No, you know what? We are Christians now. And need I throw the game changer at you? But thanks be to God who always causes you to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Every place. You win in your health, you're going to win in your finances. You win in your marriage, you're going to win with your children. I'm telling you, when the devil flees, he's got to take all of his parcel with him. And that's what we've got to understand. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. That means you don't doubt, and you'll have them. But you've got to speak it. You've got to pray. You've got to, listen, look how many times have the faith of God. For surely I say to you, whoever says, okay, to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it doesn't doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says will be done. He'll have whatever he says. Do you see, this isn't just a pet doctrine for me. This isn't just something I'm hoping I'm right. I'm telling you, it's over and over and over in God's word. See, we have to, they tried to trip Jesus up. They tried to get him to say that he never said he was the king of the Jews. But you know what he did? He didn't want to follow up the promise God gave that his son would give his life. See what he said? That's what you say that I am. You know what? They asked him another question. You know what he said? I'm not going to answer you pertaining that matter. Why? He wasn't going to let his words mess with God's plan nor trip up his life. And we've got to use that as an example. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. On the tail end of the New Testament. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Okay? This is key. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you see this? Be diligent. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. You know what that means? That means you've got to read God's word in context with his heart. You've got to read God's word in context to who he is. He is the reward. He is the rewarder. He is love. He didn't spare his only son. So in him, how will he not freely give all things? See, we've got to understand that God's heart is abundance toward his children. That's God's heart. God's heart isn't for you just to have barely enough. God's heart is not for you just to squeak by. Do you understand? God's heart is the second time you got to deal with your health, you lap the enemy right away. Man, that you win and you win without a doubt. If there's not a chance that you can't win. Man, that's God's heart. That's rightly dividing the word of truth. That we just don't squeak by on this thing. So you know what we've got to do? Four simple to-dos for you to close this service. We do it by spending time in the word. And let me shake you up a little bit. More than you watch television. More than you're on the computer. Like, hold days at a time. Your flesh is gonna scream for medication. But I'm telling you that you want to be approved of God. Do you want to present yourself approved of God? Do you want to be a worker that God can use? Do you want to rightly divide the word of truth? How many hours, days, years of crapola have you ingested into your system in your life? How many years, Mark? 50 years. So he's going to counter that with 15 minutes of devotion a day. Wes, how many years? And, well, you go to church though, right? No, you know what? We have to sell out to this. We have to completely buy into this. We have to dive into this head first. You have to make yourself. You know what I'm doing? I'm doing everything I can for 40 days to eat right. Every day I have to buy in. Every day I have to re-up. I don't want to. I was in Shano's office today. I'm raking him over the coals, man. I'm in my A game. I am stretching him and pruning him and delivering him and reconciling him and all in one fell swoop. Until I looked over on his shelf and there was a Reese's peanut butter cup. I turned into a mouth breather. Chano said, "Pastor, are you finished chastising me?" I'm like, "Don't mess with me right now. I am mesmerized. I can taste it right now. You know what I got to do? I got to re-up." See, you understand that your flesh has dominated your thought life and your reactions and your responses for 50 years. Well, now when you're in the Word, man, how long can you be in the Word before your flesh says, "Hey, whoa, 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 part. Let's go get some coffee. Let's go to the diner. Let's text somebody." And then, no, you know what makes it worse? I'm telling you, that little device, you'll be in the Word. God's getting ready to speak to you clearly and definitively, and you'll get a ding. And you'll check out of the Word, and you go check your text. Because you know why? You know what's interesting? Do you know that phone alarming you of a text or a Facebook message or an email? It connects with the same synapses in your brain as heroin. Turn your phone off, get a book. Get a book, get a Bible that doesn't ding. Crucify your flesh. I'm just trying to help here. Man, I want you to be able, how many of you guys really want to get good at rejecting doubt? You really do. Well, it's remember I said I'm simple, I'm practical, I'm basic. Buy a Bible. People leave them in church all the time. Just wait 15 minutes for everybody to leave and grab you a Bible. You're Christians. You could justify they gave it to you after about 15 minutes anyway. Don't act like you don't do that stuff. But you've got to be spending time in the Word. Is that clear, Bob? You think that's clear? You have to spend time in the Word. I mean time, man. You have to study it for life, not study it as a task. You have to be studying it for life. You know what? I'm growing in life. My life's getting bigger and better and stronger. I'm going to study God's Word. I'm going to study it. Man, I want to be an expert at it. I want the people around my life to be experts at it. We have to spend time in it. We have to study it. And you know something else? And this is a powerful notion that I think we're losing our grip on as a church. We have to be sitting under it. And it's important right now for you guys to understand that you sitting here, that you're sitting under the Word now. You're not sitting under some death sentence. You're not sitting under some ridicule. You're not sitting under torment. You're not sitting under abuse. You're sitting under the Word. It's important that you do that as often as you can. You know what? Where you let go of the control of your life, you're allowing God's Word to lead you. That's what's happening in here. That's why it's important for me that we park every car, we greet every person, we seat every person. Man, we sing songs that are easy, they're catchy for people to join in. You know why? Because I want people in that notion and get that rhythm to be led. Because if you can be led right now, if I can be a leader in this 30 minutes of our lives, if I can lead you and you can sit under the Word for 30 minutes, you may very well get good at being led by the Word, led by the Spirit as you go. Does that make sense, Jeremy? I'll say it another way if it doesn't make sense. It has to be clear. It's important for you to spend time in the Word. It's important for you to study it. It's important for you to sit under it. And really, honestly, Paul even talked about himself as being a master builder. Man, for you guys, some of you guys, it's laying a foundation in your life. Others of you guys, it's building upon that foundation. Some of you guys, it's deepening your foundation that you're like, you know what? Man, where God's taking me in my life, he's going to build something pretty big and pretty tall in my life. So you know what? I've got to have that much foundation under what he builds. Spend time and study it, sit under it. And then here's the key that you are confident in speaking it. That's how you reject doubt. You speak the word. You speak the word. The Bible says in your heart, in your mind, and in your mouth. It's got to be on the tip of your tongue. The last thing you want is for fiery darts of the evil one to be flying at your home and you to have to call somebody to figure out some word to combat it. Because let me tell you something about God's word. Once Jesus hung on this cross, right? Once he hung on that cross, God's promise put us on the offense. It's not a defensive mode anymore. We're on the offense now. So you know what? Man, the shield of faith, we're just trusting God. It's a shield. Why? So we can use the sword. And the sword is actually in our mouths. Man, it cuts. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Man, what's it able? It's so able, but it's able to separate and discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. So now you can speak God's word. Man, I'm telling you, you have to have just simple, basic faith. Just keep it simple. Man, don't get into arguments other people are in. Man, just keep it simple. And you know what? Reject doubt. And the way you reject doubt is you spend time in the word, you study the word, you sit under the word, and you're submitted to it then. And you speak the word. Okay, did you write those four things down? Huh? You spend time, you study, you sit under it, and you speak it. Because that speaking part is how we gain new ground. And that's what I want to do. I'll just tell you as a pastor, and I just want you guys to believe God with me. As we get into the back to school season of our church, it's kind of, for me, this feels like preseason to me. It's like we're getting ready, we're putting our teams together, we're getting ready to handle this wave of people that are going to hit this church toward the end of August and in September and October. So let's take those about 10 weeks and let's believe God for new ground in this community in the name of Jesus. So you know what I want you to do? I want you to write on a piece of paper who you're believing God for. Because I'll tell you, and you know what? What I thought initially was is that I'll have people pray for it. I'm going to have people do it too. But I'm going to read every one of those names, and I'm going to speak life into them. I'm going to rebuke the devourer on their behalf. And you know what? Man, just believe God, man, for especially the people. No, this is, I'm believing God for this person. You know, I had a situation about in the last month where I met someone who I'm related to and had never met him. And I just went up and I said, I don't need anything. I just want to ask you one question. Is your life right with the Lord? He said, yes. I said, is Jesus the Lord of your life? He said, yes. I said, tell me he is. He said, he is. I said, no, tell me that Jesus is the Lord of your life. He said, Jesus is the Lord of my life. I said, good, I'm good then. You know why? No man can call Jesus except by the Holy Spirit. Man, now I know that the work God's doing in him, he's faithful to complete. See, simple. Remember? Simple, basic faith. Dots that are easy to connect. Man, we got to spend time in his word. We have to study his word. We have to sit under his word. We have to speak his word. We got to be great at those four things. And then guess what? Life becomes easy. The burden we carry becomes light. Because really, God's promise is what carries us through it. We're just hanging on to what grabbed us.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.